Amen. Father, we give you thanks. And Lord, what an honor it is to come in here every Sunday morning and to worship you. Lord, there's one reason and one reason only that we gather here, and that's because you have drawn us into your family. You have called us. You have touched our hearts. Now, Lord, we pray that as we sit here to be instructed, that you would anoint your word. Lord, that we would long for it as a starving person would long for food or for water. Lord, give us that nourishment. It says in your word that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth your word. Anoint him, touch our hearts, bring us to action. We ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Everything we've been talking about this past year has been about getting to know God. There's absolutely nothing more important that we could ever deal with, that we could ever do than to get a better understanding of who God, our Creator, is. He wants us to draw near to Him, and He wants us to understand how much He loves us, and He wants us to be able to trust Him so that we can follow Him wherever He wants to lead us. That's really important. Last week we looked, or actually 2 weeks ago, we looked at an amazing story. I love the story of Joseph, a godly man by the name of Joseph. And the story demonstrated his faith and his patience as someone, a person who truly understood, who knew God and trusted Him. If you remember, when we entered the story, Joseph was only 17 years old, and he had two dreams. In one dream, he had a story that was given to him in a dream that showed him in a way that his brothers, all 11 of his brothers, it showed it in sheaves of wheat standing up, but it meant his brothers were going to bow down to him. And these dreams were going to show him what was going to happen for the rest of his life, like throughout his life. And when he saw that first dream with that symbolized his brothers bowing down to him, and he told his brothers, things didn't go too well. His brothers already didn't like him because they knew he was the favorite son. So they were always mad at him. When he told them that dream, it says that they hated him all the more. Then he ends up having another dream, and this time it's got the 11 brothers again, plus in the symbol, the sun and the moon, which is mom and dad. And when he told them this, then that they all bowed down to him again, then they all got upset with him, and even his father rebuked him. And then soon after those dreams, things began to happen. It's like once he saw that and he got a hold of it, then God began to set things in motion. And before you know it, his brothers kidnap him, and they throw him down in a pit. They plan to kill him. Then he ends up instead being sold into slavery. Then he's sold again by these guys to a wealthy man by the name of Potiphar, and he becomes his household servant who runs his house. And then not too long after that, the wife of Potiphar accuses him of rape, which he never did. And then after that, he gets thrown into prison. Then the chief of the prison sees something inside of him, that godliness, puts him in charge of all the prisoners, and then he becomes an interpreter of dreams in the prison. Not only does he have the dreams, now he starts to interpret other people's dreams because he recognizes that these dreams are from God. So he's growing. He's growing all this time. He's continuing to progress in this walk of God in his life. Then he becomes, and he gets called to become an interpreter of dreams for Pharaoh. He shares God's interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh makes him the ruler, second in command, but in reality gives him his ring and says, "You are now in charge of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at that time." And then he ends up coming up with some plans to save the world. He's like James Bond or something. He literally comes up with plans to save the world from famine and death. And does it. And then he ends up saving his family. And his family comes and bows down before him, just like in the dreams he had about 20-some years ago. And then he ends up, the family that he saved ends up becoming the nation of Israel. That God wanted to, he wanted to have his family, his people. And all this because he continued to walk after God. What a whirlwind of events. And this story shows us how someone who trusts in God, someone who puts their life in God's hands and trusts Him and walks in faith with patience, will see God's plans carried out in their life. In spite of the severe trials he went through, and you know, it runs through pretty simple in the book there, but you can imagine, this went on for years, all this stuff. And I'm sure it was not easy. He suffered. He was persecuted. But he maintained his testimony, his godly character, his faith, and eventually he saw the unfolding of God's amazing plan for his life. What was his secret? How did he handle the unfairness that was handed down to him? And how did he remain a man of faith? How come he didn't get bitter? How come he didn't get cynical or depressed or angry or frustrated and just give up like so many people would have? The reason was that Joseph knew God. And he had a relationship with God. A personal, intimate relationship with God. He trusted God. He believed in God. And he knew that his job was to honor God, do what was right, in spite of what was going on, and just remain faithful to God day by day. I said this last week, and I'll say it again, that Joseph eventually understood, and we need to understand, that God's plans don't revolve around us. We have to fit into God's plans. Once we get hold of that concept that we have to fit into God's ultimate master plan, once we get hold of that, and if we follow it, then everything in our life begins to make sense and it begins to flow better. It's almost like we get into the current. I used to think of myself when I was when I first got saved. God gave me a vision one time of me on a log in a river, and I was like a little ant on this log, and the log was rolling around and flowing down the river and banging into this and banging into that, but the ant just kept on walking on the log, and as long as I continued to stay on that log, I was good. If I jumped into the water or tried to somehow get away, but if I went with the flow, and eventually God brought me to safety. Who knows better than the Creator how His creation should best be used? Isn't that true? Unfortunately, most people think they know what's best for themselves. We may have said it, I know what's best for me. Well, we don't really know what's best for me. If we did, we wouldn't mess up so many times. Isn't that true? I've messed up a million times in my life. God knows what's best for me. We don't know better than God. He's the one who made us for His glory, for His purposes. Most people still think of themselves, their vision, their hopes, their dreams as the center of the universe. We relate everything to how it affects us. Usually in our imagination, we begin to fill in the details of how these visions and dreams of ours will come to be, how they'll progress. We expect things to happen or unfold in a particular way. our particular way. But instead, it often seems like circumstances don't quite turn out how we expected. Isn't that true? Things don't seem to be going the way we thought they would for us. We don't get the job. People come against us. People we love reject us. Sometimes some people betray us. We blow our big opportunity. We think we've been forgotten, overlooked, ignored. Someone else gets the credit or the glory or the thing we were supposed to get. We aren't growing, especially our spouse isn't growing fast enough. Maybe our children aren't who we wanted them to be. Nobody recognizes the great talent that we have. And on the list goes. Things just don't seem to go the way we wanted them to go. They keep going wrong, just like Joseph all over again. I guarantee you, that was not his plan for his life. I'm sure he tried to do godly things all the way through, kept thinking, I'll do it this way, I'll serve God this way, and then something else happens. That's not how Joseph, Job, Daniel, Paul, Jesus even. Remember, he didn't really want to go to the cross. He knew that was his job, but he still, God, is there any other way? But they remained faithful to God. Jesus remained faithful to the Father, to his mission, to the plan. In the midst of all their trials and tribulations, they remained faithful. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our faith is really put to the test. This is where we resolve to do what is right and trust in God's plans for us no matter what. Even when what's happening doesn't line up with our expectations, our great plans. But you know what? Faith isn't proven until it goes through the dark times. That's when faith grows. We don't get faith when everything works well. When everything's going peachy keen, finola, when everything's wonderful, and we're getting every blessing, I mean, what faith do we have then? We haven't really had an opportunity to trust. It's when things go bad. When things fall apart and we still trust God. When we have to go to that cross. And we do it anyway. That's when that strength comes in. The power of God comes into us. Jesus was struggling. He was sweating blood. He was grieved. But he did it anyway. He was faithful till the end. The best thing that we can do during those times is to press in and to get close to God. Just like Joseph, his relationship with God, it helped him. It helped him not only to remain faithful, but it helped him to serve to the best of his ability in everything that he did. No matter what situation he found himself in, he continued to serve with integrity, with character, and with godliness. And people saw it. It inspired them. It caused them to put their trust in Joseph. And little did they know, it was because they were actually trusting God in Joseph. Joseph was just a man. But it was God in him that made them trust Joseph. Because it was God in him who strengthened him, who gave him that ability, who helped him to be strong. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men." See, that's what Joseph did. Everything he did, no matter when he was in prison, when he was a slave in a house, wherever he was, he did it as for God and not just for them. Sure, you do it for that person, for your job, for your boss, for your children, your wife, your husband, your friends, your family, your church, whatever it is. You're doing it for them, but ultimately you know you're doing it for God. Just the same as when we do wrong and we sin. I remember Joseph said that. Remember what he said when Potiphar's wife tried to get him? He said, I could not sin against God. He didn't say, I can't sin against Potiphar. I can't sin against God because it's God that I'm working for. It's because of God that I'm here. And I'm still trusting in God while I'm here, even though I never planned on being here. Even though Joseph didn't see his plans or his vision, the vision of his brothers bowing down, or probably any other thing that he saw, he didn't see those things come into play for years. But he continued to be faithful day by day. And it's the same for us. It doesn't matter what circumstances come up in our life. Because I know every one of us in here, every one of you in here, every one of us have had disappointments, heartaches. We've had great things happen. We've had victories. But we've also had failures. We've also had hurts, disillusionments. We've had loss. We've had struggles. But those things don't have to destroy us. And in fact, as a message I spoke a long time ago, the struggle is good. Because those struggles, those hurts, those failures, those are the times when we push through and get stronger. As long as we continue to be faithful and do what is right, we'll see God's plans. We'll see His purposes for good in our lives. And what else we'll see, something else we'll see, is that because of that, many others around us will benefit and be blessed because of our obedience. You see that little drop in a lake in the water, the ripples that go out. Your life is just like that drop in the ocean. Sometimes we think, I'm so insignificant. I'm just like a drop of water maybe in a lake. But that you put that drop and all those ripples go out. It's like our life. We touch so many lives. And then those lives touch lives. And then those lives touch lives. Everything that you do has consequences. Eternal consequences. Every time you do a good work, every time you act out of love, every time you promote Christ, every time you do something for God, good just emanates. It's like the sunshine radiating out and touching so many people. We'll never understand everything that God is doing in our life, especially when we're right in the middle of it. You know, it's really hard to see the things that are happening when we're right in the middle of it. We get so consumed with what we're going through, we don't take the time, we don't have the time sometimes to really think about all the people that we touch. So what we need to do then is put our hand to the plow, fix our eyes on Jesus in all those struggles, and just stay the course. Day by day, remain faithful wherever God leads us. That's how Joseph did it. And Joseph is like a Christ-like figure. That's how Jesus did it. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes we're just not going to understand. So we trust in the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He'll lead us. He'll direct us. God knows exactly what He's doing. And you know what? He is under no obligation to explain everything He's doing to us or for us or through us. He's the boss. He knows what He's doing. He's in control. He has His plans and He's following through on them. If Joseph had not loved the Lord more than his own plans or more than his own expectations, he would have given up long before he ever got to where God was bringing him. Get a hold of that. If Joseph didn't love God and trust God more than his own plans, he never would have made it to the Pharaoh. He never would have been ruler over Egypt. He never would have saved the world from famine. I mean, if we play the whole thing out, there never would have been a nation of Israel. Everything could have fallen apart. I mean, the reality is God would have brought someone else in. But that was the plan, and Joseph followed through. How many people are there in this world that didn't follow through, that have given up the fight, who have abandoned the race, and now they face the world with bitterness, with anger, with fear, with discouragement, depression, hopelessness, because they gave up and they didn't put their trust or don't put their trust in God? You know, if we don't have that foundation, if we don't have that solid rock in our life, life can be hell. Hell on earth. But when we do have Christ, when we do have God, even in the midst of what we might call hell, we can still have joy and experience heaven on earth. The kingdom on earth. That's where we're called to be. This is our destiny. This is our calling. This is God's plan for us. This is what separates those who walk in the flesh from those who walk in the Spirit. That's why our world right now, I read something the other day that said close to 50% of the people in this country have either been on, have tried, or are still on something for depression. Can you believe that? Of adults it was talking about. It's just amazing to think that many people are struggling with depression or go through it at some time in their life. Now, I know many of us in here have probably been depressed, different things. Sometimes it's hormonal. That's different. I'm not talking about that. That's an actual chemical thing that happens after pregnancy or sometimes in different sicknesses. I'm talking about because people who have given up because they don't have God and their world is hopeless. Life is hopeless. If you've been following God for a long time, you forget about that. You do. You forget about how hopeless it can be, or it was. We don't want to forget. We want to remember how bad it was so that we don't ever go back there again. Our faith must be based not on our plans, but on God, who knows what He's doing even when we don't. Trust and obey day by day. That's how we get the victory. As we do this, God is going to direct our paths. He's going to enable us to walk in our destiny, and He's going to enable us then to be faithful in the purpose that He designed us for, His eternal purpose. Now, what is God's eternal purpose? What is the great master plan of God, His perfect will? In Ephesians 3:11, it says that God's eternal purpose was accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It explains this a little bit better in Ephesians 1:9-10, where it says, He made known to us the mystery of His will. This is His will, His perfect plan, His great master plan. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. And it's right here. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. See, God's got this great plan to lift up His Son, where He will be the head of the church, and His body will be a functioning, glorious body of people committed, people sold out for Christ, walking together in unity, in maturity. This is the plan of God. God's eternal purpose then here on earth, this great plan, it's a plan of redemption, it's a plan of reconciliation, and it's a plan of restoration. I'm going to look at three things just briefly here. Redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. Jesus, through His death on the cross, redeemed us. He redeemed us. And through that redemption, He reconciled us to the Father. And now He is restoring us into His kingdom. And He's also restoring to us the blessings of the kingdom. We've been redeemed. Look at that redeemed, redemption first. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law, death. We've been redeemed. What does that mean? To redeem means to recover ownership, to get something back, to set free, to rescue, to ransom something. In this case, it was done through the blood of Jesus. It was a precious redemption. To recover ownership. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Jesus didn't just die. Dying by itself is really not that terrible of a thing. The problem is that when He died, He took the sins of the whole world on Him, and He became a curse. He became sin. And so He was cut off from His Father, who He loved. The perfection of beauty became a sinful disgrace because He took on our sin. How would you like to be blamed? You ever get blamed for something that you didn't do? And people really, really blamed you. And they looked down at you. They were mad at you. And you feel terrible. I didn't even do it. And they're so mad at me. I didn't do that. What if every person in the world blamed every sin that had ever happened on you? Billions of people. Through all the generations, all that sin, all laid on you. That's what happened to Jesus. Not only was it on Him, but then He had to pay the penalty for that sin. It's incomprehensible. We could never imagine all the disgusting, vile, terrible, terrible sin that was thrown on Him. So it cost a lot. The price for redemption, it wasn't just a book of green stamps. It wasn't a coupon. It wasn't a few bucks. It was the blood of Jesus. And just like with everything He does, God did it at just the right time with His perfect timing. Sometimes His timing seems way too long for us. Sometimes it seems like it comes on too suddenly. But Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the time had fully come," some versions say, "but at just the right time, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons and daughters." God redeemed us so He could bless us. To give us our rights as His children, to give us an inheritance, to put the deposit of His Holy Spirit in us. It was a great redemption. I'll get in line. This redemption, it was so expensive. It cost God so dearly. Why would God do that? God did it because He wanted to reconcile. He said, redemption, reconciliation. He wanted to reconcile us to Him. Now, what does reconcile mean? Well, in the Scripture, there's different times where it talks that we were at enmity with God. We were at war with God. Because of sin, we were at war with God. To love the world is to be at war with God. And we were born with this sin in us. And there was this barrier between us and God. And before Christ died, there was no way to cross that barrier. So God found a way to reconcile. It's something, it means to reestablish or establish this close relationship between two parties. And in this case, it was God and us. And God did this. He did this. Not us. We could never make this happen. We could never have formed this relationship with God. If we tried to get in God's presence, we would have died because we were full of sin. But God reconciled us so we could come before Him, so we could draw close to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Remember, Pastor Keith talked about that last week, that we are ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Get close to God. That's what He's saying. We implore you on Christ's behalf. God, you know, He sent His Son, He died for us. Please, please, get close to God. That's what He's saying. Jesus died so you could get close. God is in the process of restoring people. Restoring His church. He's making this church. He's building this church. And He's building His church into this image that He originally intended. How is He doing that? Well, we know that God's desire is that no one should perish and that everyone should come to repentance. That's in 2 Peter 3:9. And this plan of God's that we've been talking about, His great master plan, His eternal purpose, it has an opening in it. It's like they're casting for a play and there's an opening. And He's calling you to come and try out for the part. Because He's got a part specially for you. You've already got the part. You just have to show up. It's your part. Your part in this great, wonderful, beautiful plan of God's. Your part. And if you don't get in and do your part, there's something missing. The play will still go on. But there'll be someone missing over there, and it won't be as good as it could have been if you're missing. And you'll miss out big time from being part of something special, something amazing. We each have our part, our role to play in this masterful plan of God's. God will definitely orchestrate circumstances in our lives so that we will have the ability and the opportunity to reach out at just the right time, because that's the way God works, to make an impact in someone's life that will either then or lead to eventually them being rescued from the kingdom of darkness. Because that's what God's plan is all about. Rescuing people. Redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. He wants to take back. He wants us to take back what the devil has stolen. And so he's calling us to be part, to co-labor with him as he builds his church. Each one of us should be looking for that open door, that divine appointment that we sometimes call it, to minister salvation, which is really reconciliation. Helping them to, or helping to reestablish or establish that closeness with God. Because God's going to send people your way. If your eyes are open, you're going to see that God is going to send people your way. We just read it in 2 Corinthians 5:19 where it said that we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were speaking through us. So we've been called to speak for God, and it's an awesome privilege to say, God wanted me to tell you something. God has sent me. I mean, we don't usually say it that way, but it could be almost said that way. God has sent me. He has a very important message for you that will rescue you from darkness, hopelessness, and death. And I'd like to share that with you. Now that's in a very dramatic fashion. We won't be able to say it quite that clear like that, but that's the message that we want to get across by showing love, by being an ambassador. And the ambassador learns how to say things tactfully. An ambassador learns the customs of that land, that nation, and he learns how to work through those customs and do things that won't offend those people, but still get the message across. Right? So we got this message that we want to get across for God. God wants to get it across through us. We got to figure out, in our own little feeble mind, what we got to do, but we're not alone. And this is the good part, because the Holy Spirit, it says, will teach us what to say at just the right time. So we think it's all up to us. How am I going to do that? What am I going to say? I don't know if I can do that. This is what I want to tell you. God's going to even not only set up the appointment, but he's going to give you the things to say. And on top of that, he has prepared the heart of that person to hear them. So it's like they're waiting for you. It's like they have a big bullseye on their back, right? And you just have to walk up and say, excuse me, this has happened in this church. Are you saved? And we've had people in here say, no, but I know I need to. Just like that. Because somebody was obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit for that divine appointment, playing that role in God's plan. We never know what turn of events will open that door. In Joseph's life, it seemed like the more disasters he went through, the more opportunities he had. Any one of those things could have discouraged him, could have knocked him out of the race. But they didn't. He just kept on going. He kept on going. He kept on serving God. And God was right there with him every step of the way. God never left him. Even when he couldn't see God. And I bet there were times when Joseph felt sort of down. I bet when he first got in prison, he's probably thinking, man, I didn't even do that. What a bummer. Here I am sitting in prison. But then, you know, after you start to say, okay, God. See, we'll go through those things. We're not perfect. But then we say, okay, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? What is my purpose here? Is there a reason that you put me in here? what could you use me for in here? Then you start thinking, like, and looking around, and you say, well, I could do this, and I could get involved here. He must have done that kind of thing, because it wasn't too long before he was the head over all the prisoners. So he obviously took it upon himself to start helping. He found himself in this situation, but then he rose above the situation and said, you know what? I'm just going to be the man. I'm going to be God's person here and just do what I should be doing as God leads me. Even though it took years, and sometimes it probably seemed like it was getting worse, he still continued on all along. God was, all this time, God was working his plans out. It wasn't time for the famines yet. It wasn't time for the years of plenty yet. It wasn't time for Pharaoh to bring him into the family, basically. So Joseph had to wait. He had to wait for God's timing. But God was orchestrating things all around him so that when the right time came, he could take Joseph and put him there. And those kind of things are happening all around you right now. God's busy doing this. He's busy doing that. And then at just the right time, he's going to bring you there. And then you're going to be going, my heart's pounding. I got to say, I know I'm supposed to say something. You been in that situation? I have. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes we don't. We kick ourselves. I'm just trying to encourage you today. Do it. So what if you feel like you're going to make a fool of yourself? I'd rather be a fool for Christ than not, you know? So finally the big payoff came in Joseph's life. God was glorified. People were saved. A nation was established. The world was saved. Even when we can't see it, even when it seems like nothing is happening, like we're just twirling our thumbs, we get so impatient, we want it now. And God is saying, just hold on, take your time. I got all eternity here. What's your rush? So we stay the course. We continue. We follow God because He's working in each one of us to change us into the likeness, into the image of His Son, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." See, the Holy Spirit's always involved in this. God's doing a remodeling job inside of us. You see, even though He's got this big plan and He wants us to help Him in this master plan that's going on things all over the world, at the same time, He's remodeling us. He is so intricate. His ways are so far above His ways, our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts, we would never be able to figure out what in the world He's doing. But God knows what He's doing. It would be a tragedy. It could be a tragedy, I should say. It could be a tragedy. It could be victory. It could be poverty. It could be wealth. It could be a situation or circumstance where there's a serious medical emergency or life-threatening things are happening. We've seen it in our own midst over and over. Or we could just be standing in line at the grocery store. Could be a flat tire. Or could be just sitting in the waiting room. Or we could see somebody sitting alone. All these different ways God can open up that door. How we respond to any of those things and a million other things reveals how much we've grown and the work that remains to be done in our life. How do we respond in those situations? Do we sit there and complain and worry about how we're going to be so late for this? Or do we try to take the time and see how can God use this situation? And through all these things, God is continually at work, building His church, building His kingdom, making us a visible expression of His glory. Jesus loves His church, and we're the church. He gave His life up for the church. We are far from perfect, far from perfect, but you know what? He loves us anyway. Loved us to death. God is committed to building His church. And He leads us by His Holy Spirit. And as we are led by the Holy Spirit, and as we are walking in obedience to His Word and committed to walking in His plan, we see great things happening. God's kingdom being built. When Jesus said He'll build His church, what He meant was He's building you. He's building me. He's bringing all things together. He's trying to bring it all together to work and to function together to become one body, His body, so that He can work on this earth. God uses His church to speak His message of love and forgiveness to this world, because He wants to make us into a community of believers, His people. He's always wanted a people, and we're that people. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do our plans, do our expectations for ourselves, for our family, do they fit into God's eternal plan, into His purposes? Do our plans fit into His? Or do we put our vision for ourselves ahead of God? God's purpose must carry the greater weight in our life if we want to see His glory revealed and His blessings poured out in a great way. All of a believer's present and future joy and sense of purpose will spring. Everything that comes out of our life, all these things, all these good things that we want happen as we line up, with God's bigger purpose, as our life lines up with God's bigger purpose. If we're feeling bored and empty and listless and hopeless, frustrated, it might be that we're wandered off into our own plans. Remember Joseph later in his life, after leading this life of obedience, he realized all that God had done. Remember when he was at the end there and he shared with his brothers, he realized how blessed he was. And he told them, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." He understood that God had been working through this thing the whole time, and that God had used him mightily to be a blessing to his family and to people all over the world. And God just kept bringing him up. Promotion comes from the Lord. As we are faithful to Him, God continues to put us in a more powerful position so that we can be a bigger blessing. It always gets back to seeking first the kingdom. Are we seeking first the kingdom? As we get to know God and trust Him and walk obediently in His way, there will be a continuous flow of blessing, of faith, of life, of power. It will be released into us, and it will be able to work through us into this world. That's how Joseph made it through all his hardships. That's how we'll make it. That's how Abraham was able to put his son Isaac on the altar to be sacrificed. That would have been tough, wouldn't it? He trusted that somehow God's bigger plan was going to somehow work this whole thing out, and so he stayed the course. He remained faithful. That's how Noah was able to build an ark, and when he had never even seen or heard of rain, in the face of all this ridicule, he builds a boat on dry land, and he figured that somehow God's purpose would work here, and I'm just going to be faithful no matter what. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to walk into a flaming furnace and trust God, because they figured somehow God is going to work through this and do something. We don't know if He'll save us or not, but we're still going to trust God. We're still going to remain faithful. That's how Daniel could walk into the lion's den. That's how David could fight Goliath. And that's how Jesus could go to the cross. In each case, they trusted the Father and were faithful all through it. Every one of those situations and millions more going on all around us. Because God's people are everywhere. We're not alone here. We are not alone. God's people are all around us. Don't be swayed by this doom and gloom that we hear everywhere. I know it can be very depressing, and you start looking around us, you look at our government, you look at the world situation, looks like everything's falling apart. And in some ways, it sort of is. But you know what? That means it's a great time to share the gospel, to give people something solid to grab hold of. Because right now, it doesn't look like there's anything out there solid except God. What better time? If you're sinking on a ship and you see the Rock of Gibraltar out there, I know where I'm going. Right? Can we trust God enough to believe that He is working in our life just as His Word says He is? Do we really believe what Romans 8:28 tells us, that in all things God is working for the good who love Him and are called according to His purpose, His plan? See, when we're walking in that plan, God's going to work it all out. God is working in us, and at the same time, He's calling us to come and work with Him, to share the load, share the work. We get to be a part of what God is doing here on this earth. We get to be a part of this great plan of redemption and reconciliation and restoration. We get to play our part. We get to be, you know, we get to share the gospel. We get to be ministers of reconciliation. We get to be part of bringing all things together under heaven and earth. It's unbelievable to think that we could play a part in that. Us feeble little humans, we could help in our small way, help to bring all things under the headship of Jesus Christ. That's the reality. That is reality. It's not a game. It's real. This is what's happening. We may not see it with our eyes. It may sometimes look like it's going the other way. But this is when we have to put our trust in God and walk in faith. God's plans will not fail. God's purpose will be carried out. We need to get on board. We need to stay close to God. We need to enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride as we march on to victory. That's what God is calling us to do. If I could have the prayer team come forward. God's got great things in store for every one of us. Sometimes it's so hard to see it. And that's where that faith comes in. We just slowly put our feet in the water. Do you remember when they crossed the Red Sea? It says that when they put their feet in the water, not until, when they put their feet in the waters parted. I know we think sometimes we feel like we're alone out there and we just can't do it. But when we open our mouth and we begin to say, we begin to speak as an ambassador should, all of a sudden, the words start to flow. And we realize that God truly is with us. He said He'll never leave us. He'll always be by our side. His Holy Spirit will be right there with us. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that we can be part of this plan of Yours, Lord God. We thank You that You are always there behind the scenes working, making these things all come together. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your tremendous part in this, Lord God, for going to that cross, for being that faithful Son, being obedient to the Father, giving up Your life. Thank You for Your great sacrifice. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do. And Lord, I thank you for each one of us as we take these words into our heart, Lord God. I pray that we would be moved by your Holy Spirit, that we would begin to see that we do have a role to play. I pray that we would have the faith to step out when we're scared, to not let fear be something bigger than God. Because, God, you've told us that you did not give us a spirit of fear. That's not from you. God, give us a boldness. Help us to be strong and courageous, to do what needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. The tide is coming in. Here it is. Here is our King.
Constant, how divine. this love of ours will rise, will rise. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Yeah. Turn your gaze to heaven and raise a joyous noise.
He is holy.